Welcome once again to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here in studio today with you and with our guest, Joan Freelander. Well, look, our topic for today is, do you have the capacity to do more? And our guest is author, speaker, and coach, Joan Freelander. And you know, on the front page of her website, she's got a quote that really intrigued me. It says, respect your limitations and liberate your brilliance. And that's what we're talking about today. You know, we all have limited capacities, some physical, some mental, some just plain old energy or age. The question is, are you using these in the best possible way? Or are you just keeping busy as if there was no limit? That's what we're going to explore today. Joan, it is great to have you back here today. It's great to have you back in California. You left us a number of years ago. We've missed you.
Thank you. It's good to be back here.
Well, and Joan has a wonderful book. We've talked about it on the show before. Tell
Business
them a little
from,
bit.
Business from Bed, and it's got a very long subtitle. It's a 6-step comeback plan to get yourself working again after a health crisis. And people with chronic health conditions really know about capacity issues. So the idea is when you're ready to get back to work, when the acute phase is over, it's a process. In a way, it's a grieving process, and then it's an evaluation process. Where are you now? Because often an illness will cause you to reevaluate, so assess your goals, and then survey the land. What are the opportunities? If you can't go back to what you were doing before, there's a step to help you evaluate that, and I guess I'm telling you the steps. But it's relevant to our topic today in a certain way.
Well, and it's a great book. I had the privilege of reading it and writing a little foreword on it, too. Mm-hmm. And my observation as I read through it is it isn't just limited to somebody coming back from an illness. There's a lot of really good tips in there about how to sort of reevaluate your life and come to grips with maybe some major changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
So it's a wonderful book. Well, look, I'm glad to have you here today. Let's find out a little bit about you before we get into our topic first. So what did you do prior to what you're doing now?
I'm not going to tell you everything I did. I'm one of those people that had many different jobs. I've probably had 3 careers. When I was working in my very first, finally, I would say the career, I thought, oh, I figured out what I'm doing. I was a store manager for a national bookstore chain, and then I was also a training store manager. And that's when I was introduced to coaching. I loved it. I'd finally found my sweet zone for me. And then I got sick with Crohn's disease. So that really sent me into somewhat of a tailspin, and it took me about 7 years to get back to a career that would give me that opportunity, but also in a way to take care of my body, and it turned out to be coaching.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And that's probably about the time you and I met then, and right about then.
Absolutely, that's true, because I moved to Orange County and joined the Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation.
Yeah. So what attracted you to what resonated with you about the coaching?
I would say, first of all, I realized I was in a training with 2 other new training managers, and I was the only one that actually understood the module. Mm-hmm. So there was just some natural resonance. But the thing that I really like about coaching and coaching as a way to work with employees in a company is the way they set up the model is, see if you can present the problem or the performance issue to the employee and get them engaged and into agreement. So it was a co-create the solution with them instead of telling them what they're doing wrong.
Command and direct.
that other way, which is so way. Unnatural to me. So it was just a natural fit.
See, that other way is so natural to men.
Oh, it is. Yes, really. Right. Here's
there
what you need
could
to
be
do.
A racist thing. Not a racist, a sexist thing there. Wonderful, wonderful. And you know, when we talk about coaching here, just for the audience, in my mind, there's 2 kinds of coaching. There's coaching that you do as a profession. So I'm a professional coach. I've certified in it, and that's how I make my living. But I also know lots of people that coaching has become their management style, their way of working, whether they're managing people or managing children or kids or at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
In fact, thinking of home, I'm frequently reminded by my wife when we're in the middle of one of those conversations, she'll say, do you want to put your coaching hat on and finish this?
Smart. I was just thinking, I think it's most difficult at home.
Yes.
the other style comes in.
So where did you get your coaching training?
I went to Corporate Coach University.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did that. It was at the time I did my coach training, there was not much for business coaching. And I also needed to find a program that I could do from home.
Okay.
And so that was the opportunity at that time.
Wonderful. So, okay, that kind of catches us up a little bit. What are you doing now? And I know that's a broad question because
yes.
You're not a person that does just one thing.
No, I've actually had, some might say I've been on a bit of a sabbatical. I went and did some video production work, and that's ended. So I'm actually returning to coaching as my full-time business. But before I did that, and even before I wrote Business from Bed, I'd actually pitched this book called Got Capacity to the publisher, who had asked me if I had a second book to write. The first one I did, I co-wrote a book called Women Work in Autoimmune Disease. And when they asked me if I had something else to write, I shared with them that I was really looking at this whole thing of productivity. That's one of the things I help my small business clients do, is to help them be more focused and productive.
Right.
And I noticed, I wrote about the law of diminishing returns, but I just got really intrigued with this idea of capacity, because most people think of, I want to be more productive. And I just got it's still happening. I got a LinkedIn invitation a couple of days ago, extreme productivity.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you know who you're asking? But I just realized that there are limits to productivity. I mean, I think I remember two things from my economics class in college, and one was the law of diminishing returns, and you can only put so much in before what you get back actually decreases.
Yes.
And so that started me on this exploration of capacity, and this is what I am looking at now, and I've developed a model. And now you and I hopefully will actually explore how it could be applied in different situations. So I don't have the answer, but it's a way to create awareness. Where do you have capacity? Where do you not have capacity?
And like any good coach, we never have the answers to anything. We just have more questions. So that's what we're going to be talking about here today. Well, that's wonderful. You know, we've asked all of our guests a question. What is your guiding principle?
It's so interesting. Now that I've, reconnected with this word itself, I see it everywhere. I guess my guiding principle is, we are human beings. We are not human doings.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Do you think that your struggle that you've had with health
mm-hmm.
has impacted your outlook on this issue?
Absolutely. Yeah.
How so?
Well, the last time I had a job, which was in 1999, 2000, I was out on disability leave for 2 months, and my illness is Crohn's. It's an intestinal illness. And it was the longest time I had been out on disability leave, and I always only needed short term. This was still short term. And I got back to work, and I was excited to be back to work, and I went out to lunch with my coworkers, and it was so interesting. So we went to lunch. Everybody was pitched forward. We were racing to get to the restaurant. Hurry up to order the food. Hurry up to eat the food. And hurry up so we can get back in time to get back to work. And I just felt that pitch forward. I mean, literally their postures. And I realized I had gotten really centered in my body. And I made a decision not to do that again.
Wonderful.
But it was just enough of a gap to create awareness about how ridiculous, in my view, this whole, the push, just the constant push all day long.
You know, I've often had conversations with clients, and the conversation I like to have with them often is the one when they're just back from vacation.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when they look at everything differently.
Yes.
For about 20 minutes, and mm-hmm. then we slide right back into the old way of doing it. But it's so hard to hold on to that perspective.
It is.
You know, do you find yourself tempted, enticed to get back into that overload situation?
No, not at all. I actually can't.
Okay, so
yeah. No,
you've got a self-governing meter.
Yes, I do. And even though I'm, you know, the symptoms of my illness have been in remission for 11 years, I would actually attribute that to the fact that it is still my modulating, it's still my barometer.
Mm-hmm.
My digestive system will tell me, I can tell if I've gone too far. So I think it's also part of what's kept me healthy.
Okay, so I know we're going to get into this, but an interesting aside, what would you suggest to people to set up a monitoring system? Because we do just sort of ignore all the signs that are going on around us.
Yes, we do, and I've had a couple of conversations recently with people, I'll say, of relative in our age group.
That means older. She's looking at me.
No. There's some gray hair. But, you know, and the conversation is, when I was younger, I could get away with.
Yes.
I ask, perhaps we didn't get away with it, that it caught up with us. And now we have to change our habits. So I don't remember what your question was, but.
Yeah. It was about setting up a monitoring system to be
so
aware of it.
We have to pause. I'm working with this one successful businessman right now, and we're just redeveloping. There are two times a year where he's very busy, and self-care goes out the window. And he's recommitted to a self-care plan. So something as simple as he's going to take a 20-minute walk during the day while he's working. A pause break. We had a joke. We had a funny incident. I mean, there are other things that he's doing, but at some point in our last conversation, he said, I don't have time to relax. And it was great because we both started laughing at the ridiculousness of that idea. And then I'll just give another example. I worked with a woman a few years ago who wanted to take walks on the beach. I think she lives around here somewhere. And she lives very near the beach. And she wanted to take her break at 9:30 in the morning. And she thought, I can't do that. I've just started working. But I said, as I always do, I invite people to experiment. Because the mind doesn't want to think, you know, it's so committed to something else.
Right.
Experiment. Put it in your workflow plan. Schedule it and do it. And what she discovered for herself, it was actually good for business. Because in that 90-minute time period, if there was something she was working on, let's say, in her mind, she often got solutions. Breakthroughs happen when you're relaxed.
Along with that, there is a blogger that I follow, Cal Newport, and his writing, he's a scientist, and his writing is all about what he calls deep thinking. And he advocates that we spend so much time multitasking that we are unable to devote our energy to really to its capacity to solve a problem. And so he talks all the time about, are you allocating enough large blocks of time to be devoted to just one thing, to focus in on that thing? Some of that time would be time working on it, and some of it would be time thinking about it, which is sort of what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think I would imagine most human beings can recall taking a shower and having one of those epiphanies. I mean, that's a pause break in a certain way. They're not deliberately trying to solve the problem, but somehow it arises when in the shower.
Yeah.
It's just one example.
So let's talk a little bit about capacity and what this really means. Okay.
Capacity. I did some research when I got interested in the word, and it's usually applied to countries, I believe. You know, does the country have economic capacity?
Sure.
So what is it? That's ability. I mean, it's ability, strength, energy.
Resources.
A great example that I love to share, because many will, you know, not listen. So I'll go to an excerpt. Robert Kiyosaki.
Sure.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
He wrote a book, Before You Start Your Business. I think that's the name of it. And his first business was the Velcro wallet business. I gather he invented the Velcro wallet for surfers.
I didn't know that.
And at least I'm sharing this. People can go to the book find out if I'm right or wrong.
Oh, they will.
Okay. So he's very good at sales.
Yes.
And he was so good at sales that the business tanked. And the business tanked because he hadn't created the infrastructure, which is all about capacity.
Yes.
So do you have the resources? I mean, I talk to individuals, we can look at businesses, but I go to him as I'll say, an expert in being successful and his own first experience.
You know, the capacity example that came to my mind, I'm a much more basic, simple person than you, when we talked about this, was the old Cal Worthington commercials that used to run on television many years ago. He would be on late night TV selling used cars with his dog. And he would say, come down here, I'm losing money on every car I sell, but I'm making it up on the volume.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's totally ridiculous.
Exactly.
But I see so many businesses run where the driving motivation is sales. The driving motivation is how many orders can I collect without looking at, do I have the capacity to fill the orders? Do I have the capacity to sustain our reputation, to sustain the quality? And it goes on and on and on. And we see businesses all day long that are good, solid, basic businesses not doing well because they've not recognized their capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I specialize in working with independent small business owners, many of whom are solo, and nobody prepares for success. Very few prepare for success. And like you said, the driver is more sales, more sales, more sales, without consideration of if you grow, are you writing down how you do it? Just a very simple thing, so that if you bring somebody on, you can train them. And so these people end up working 7 days a week, many hours, neglecting their health and their family life. So sometimes they can make these changes, but you have to really see it.
Now, you know, before you, I'm going to take you back a little bit. Before I heard you use the term capacity, I took a class from you at one point about the master calendar.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've got it right.
Yes, I now call it the visual workflow planner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How does that tie in? Is there a tie-in with what you're doing now?
Absolutely, because it is still the idea of the visual workflow planner, formerly known as the master calendar solution, is that you look at what are your high priority business tasks. You look at how many hours you have available for work. I've worked with single parents, single moms, who are like, I'm just thinking of a real estate agent.
Yeah.
But when you have kids and they're school age, you don't probably work till 6 unless you're remote from the office. You might need to stop at 3. So it's what are the high priority business activities, including not just the urgent, but the big thoughts, as you mentioned.
The important.
We're
back to,
the important.
Yeah.
And it's a way to then map that into the time you have available. And the other piece of it that I like to also include is some people are early morning people. I've worked with business owners who really don't have mental capacity until about 11 a.m., so they should definitely not be going to morning meetings, for example. So, but they can do simple, less heady things and really get on the court, perhaps with clients at 11. And it just is a map of flow of the important commitments to the business, and also integrating, if you, you know, again in my case, or with some of my clients, if you have medical appointments you have to keep, or you have to stop and pick up a kid at school, it's not really great to still be doing business. So it's just a way to map out capacity into real life. Does this make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense at all. No, it does make sense. It does.
Because I have one more example.
Yeah.
One of the people in my class, a different class than what you were in, was a new mother, also a coach, and her baby was 6 months old. So she had this very interesting thing,
she's got a schedule.
She's got a schedule, but the baby doesn't really have one. So we also had to build in some flexibility there. So it really is a map, I would say, of capacity.
You know, I'm as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about how many of us have to-do lists and are total failures at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the list only recognizes all of the things we could ever think of that we could do without any recognition of, well, priorities. Usually people are smart enough to go through and prioritize their list. But myself included, I would say it's very seldom that I go through and figure out the hours that are on that list of work and match it to, do I have the capacity to do it within the time frame that these things are due?
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Isn't this the reason to-do lists fail?
Yes. Yes. The very first program I taught when I was just coaching was called Work Less, Make More, which was really the foundation of my business. And I taught others, and I did a workshop, and I remember one of the women who came to that workshop was one of those list makers.
Yeah.
And it was the problem with lists, especially that whole carry forward method, is it just lives as I'm never caught up.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember quite the interaction because it was a number of years ago, but she, the relief when she realized it actually wasn't healthy for her to keep that level of to-do in front of her.
Well, we're going to take a commercial break, but when we come back, I want to share a personal example on list making, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Do you have a desire to be a part of a conscious community? I mean a community of people who get together with the purpose of strengthening their awareness muscles, deepening their relationships, and striving for the extraordinary? Check out how to get started at productivelearning.com. We are a unique self-development company, and we believe that we all have the innate ability to create and live the lives we truly want. But we also know that ability needs to be nurtured and developed. That's why we offer over 40 different workshops to our conscious community. Workshops that intentionally stretch you beyond your comfort zone towards what you truly want. Our workshops are not ordinary. We take journeys across the world from exotic scuba diving trips to rich cultural getaways. And we offer amazing workshops right here in South Orange County. Join us and find out just how extraordinary life can be. Go to productivelearning.com today or call Lisa Reed at 949-234-0628. To see how you can be a part of our conscious community, that's productivelearning.com or 949-234-0628.
And now back to Doug and his guest.
And we're back here in studio today talking to Joan Freelander. Our topic is capacity. We sort of sucked you in today saying, do you have the capacity to do more? When really, Joan and I both know you don't have the capacity to do what you've already committed to. That's what we really want to focus on here. And that was my good friend Lisa Reed there talking about productive learning. Hopefully that's with a firm grasp on the capacity you have to learn more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, we were just talking about list making and people, the fact that we get sucked into making these to-do lists without any regard to whether we have the capacity to do them. They were always a great burden to me. I'm a big list maker. I would make these lists. I would be so discouraged at the end of the day that I had added more than I took off. Until I started using a computer tool. It's a mind mapping tool. It has a section for every day of the week, and it has it each day is broken down into meetings and phone calls and office work. The ability to take the things I didn't do and just do a shift move to a future date has relieved a huge burden for me.
Wow.
Because, I put them on there, but I'm much more aware during the day of the fact that I'm not going to get to all those things. Mm-hmm. So rather than feel guilty about it at the end of the day, I'm going to reallocate them right now to another day.
That's a great approach.
You know,
and it helps you relax. Is that what I'm hearing?
It does. It takes the pressure off of feeling defeated by having requests that I can't I don't have the capacity to honor.
I'm just curious.
Sure.
Did any of those things keep moving forward, or were you actually able to get to most of them at some point in the future?
Yeah. Realistically, they could move from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday to Friday. But at the end of the week, if they had been doing that all week, then it was, when I started doing the next week's list, it was get rid of them. They're not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They're not as important as I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's
so there was a pruning.
Yes, and that's great because I think there's another piece to this, and you were bearing it out. There are things you think you should do,
yes,
and you think are important, and they do. You know, the way you approached it sounded really healthy to me. To even to notice after a week, some people might wait a month or two before they get to maybe this is not as important as I thought. And there's also trust in right timing. I'll just say I've kind of gotten even a little more radical with it. Is if I might have five things to do, I'll actually start with what I have the most energy for in the moment, and in engaging with that, whether it's because I love it or that's just what I have the energy to do. I'm not talking about coaching, you know, when I'm working with clients, but my other projects, then it will give me more energy for the other things.
Well, and there's also, and I know you've advocated this, there is the ability to take projects that generate energy rather than use energy and get smart about where you plug them in during the day, so that I'm a morning person. So the projects that I know, the special projects that I can't wait to work on, I will put those off to the afternoon. That's my low time. But by working on them then, I always have the energy because those are the ones I really want to do.
Interesting.
Whereas the ones I don't want to do, I better do those first thing in the morning when my energy level's high and I'm not counting on it to generate the excitement. So, look, you've got a wonderful chart that our radio audience cannot possibly see. How can we talk about this? Because you've really created some interesting ways to look at and talk about capacity. You've kind of broken it down into, three basic categories?
Categories. Essential capacities, physical, mental, emotional.
Okay, physical capacity would relate to...
To strength. And energy.
And energy. Or, do I have the health to do this? Can I have enough hours? Can I stay awake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Emotional capacity.
Emotional capacity is, it's a variable. You might be feeling really good emotionally and some days less good, perhaps, I don't know, anxious or whatever. And emotional capacity can influence your ability to do things.
How do I recognize my emotional capacity?
I think the first thing is to acknowledge and to be able to recognize when emotionally you may not be as resilient. My experience is when I surrender to that and don't try to push myself, it actually releases earlier. When I attempt to work and I'm not feeling emotionally stable, it's not a great time, for example, to do marketing. So,
yeah,
that's a specific choice I might make. Wait till I'm stable, because then my marketing, at least this is me, it just backfires.
You know, I hadn't thought about this till you were just talking about it, but. Simple example, not even a work example. My wife will remind me that I have somebody in the family that I need to call.
Mm.
You know, it's your sister's birthday or your brother's getting ready to go on a trip. You need to call and talk to him. And I'll go, I just can't do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the emotional drain that call is going to take.
Uh-huh.
And I know I can't do it right now. I'll do it later. I'll do it after lunch. I'll do it after dinner. I'll do it after a glass of wine. I mean, but that's sort of is that what we're talking about here?
Yes. And then there's I mean, I've got them further divided into whether it's optimal, you know, and I've got 9 capacities. I think we should just stick with the essential for this conversation. Optimal, which in emotional, I think a nice word for that could be resilient. You're just, you know, if something comes your way, you're probably going to be able to bounce back.
Sure.
Diminished emotional capacity. I've got several words, but one of them is suppressed. You know, you're feeling suppressed, just kind of caved in.
Okay.
And then there is the other side, and the best word I've come up with it is excessive, like over the top. Some people get manic at times.
So on a scale of good to bad, on emotional capacity, I would have at the bottom of the scale would be sort of diminished capacity.
Yes.
I just know I can't handle this.
Yeah, you're, yeah.
Optimal would be sort of midpoint.
Yeah.
I can go with it.
Yeah.
And excessive is I'm so wired, you hope I don't work on
exactly.
your project.
Exactly. Yes, and one of the words I've come up with is dramatic, and Trump might be considered somebody who's dramatic.
Sure.
And he's not in... I know he's effective in some, you know, with some people, but it's not really very effective. Many people are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go in both directions, and I find excessive is it's like overcompensating in some way, or just not even there's no filters.
Okay, so we've got the gradients, and we've got the three types of capacity: physical, emotional, mental.
Mm-hmm.
What's mental capacity? I mean, is that I'm stupid or
dense?
No. Okay.
No, that's alertness. So it's about the level, generally, of alertness, ability to think.
Ability to focus?
Ability to focus. It's not about what you know.
Okay.
We all have different things that are our strengths and are not. No, this is just about kind of the ability to evaluate, to think, to focus.
So let me go through the gradients again. My diminished mental capacity is I can't seem to understand. I can't grasp it. I've read the sentence 10 times. It means nothing to
me. Yes, yeah.
Okay. My optimal is I'm on top of it. It seems like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And excessive mental capacity.
It could be like scattered, like can't focus, but in the other direction.
The other direction.
Yeah. And I want to say, I mean, you said top to bottom. We got to kind of backtrack. A lot of people I work with do have physical
sure.
illnesses, medicines, you know, mental capacity medicines make people foggy, or not enough sleep makes people foggy.
Yeah.
There might be some decisions you don't want to make mentally tweaked.
Have you seen the statistics on the number of people suffering from sleep deprivation?
Many.
It doesn't make me want to go out the front door get on the road.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah.
So we've got these capacities, physical, emotional, mental. We've got these ways of measuring them.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with this now?
Well, as I have said to you, baseline for me, awareness.
All right.
If there's a challenge, this could be used to, you know, I've got it on one sheet that we can see, our audience can't see it. But you could look and say, oh, no wonder. I have diminished capacity in these areas right now. Then from there, we're coaches. We don't say, well, in order to do this, you do this. Develop a plan. Is it just for today, or is this something that's going on for a while? What might be contributing to that? Is it worth getting back to optimal? Now, I say with the physical, mental, and emotional, yes. The other capacities, can I give an example from
sure.
the other one?
Yeah.
So I shared the 9 capacities with another coach, a friend of mine, and she realized that she was uncomfortable in her body when I said collaborative.
Okay.
She said, let's take a look at this. And she's very successful working on her own, and she doesn't love teamwork.
Sure.
Some people don't. So her collaborative capacity was actually diminished. And then, so we took a look. Well, is that something she has to fix? We came up with 2 views. One is, if she wanted to expand her business beyond her own ability, and she might need to collaborate with others, in which case what she came up with is there would be conditions of satisfaction that would need to be met with the people she would choose to collaborate with. And then the other option was, oh, if this is not my strength, because you could see capacity as a strength as well,
right,
then she just stays in her own business and doesn't even try to collaborate with other people. So it doesn't always have to be fixed.
Right.
It's an evaluation tool.
You know, I would sort of liken it to if I had a factory and somebody was placing an order, I'm going to look at what my capacities are. Capacity might be labor, mm-hmm. people that are available to work on it. It might be equipment. It might be certain raw materials. Mm-hmm. It might be storage space. And as I looked at those, some might be diminished in your terminology. Mm-hmm. I don't have much. Some might be I'm all set, I'm good, and in other cases I've got excess capacity mm-hmm. in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So now as I'm looking at taking this order, I have the ability in areas where I might not perfectly match up in terms of looking at my capacity compared to the order I'm getting, I have the ability to maneuver things around. So like your collaborative person, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. for certain clients, I might have very high collaborative talent. For others, I don't. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I appreciate you bringing in, I work with people in service businesses. So yeah. Yes, there are other types of businesses and it is the same thing. And if somebody wants to grow, they might need to stop doing all of the business tasks themselves yeah, yeah. and figure out, you know, who they need to bring into the team and what they need them to do. So I think it's a pretty flexible model.
It's an interesting model in that I'm going to say there's nothing unique about this in my manufacturing example. Mm-hmm. But in my own situation, to look at my daily service business, and to take the time to think about where I am on this capacity chart mm-hmm. compared to the requests that are coming in. Never have done it. Mm. Now, I say never have done it. I have not knowingly done it. I probably unconsciously have made some evaluations mm-hmm. in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, given the conversation that we had before the show, I'd say you've done a good job with it. You know, and this is just, I think this is actually a new model. It's just my view. There's some correlation to Maslow's hierarchy of needs,
sure.
for example.
Yeah. Joan, you're really on to something that there's nothing new in the world. It's mm-hmm. just a matter of what can we take that's been used someplace else and find a way to bring it into a new environment, mm-hmm. and a different environment where it now looks new, but yeah. it's been true and tried. And what mm-hmm. you've got is a tool that if we looked at our work schedules, if we looked at our to-do lists, if we looked at our planning with an eye towards capacity, I think we could come up with much better results. Mm-hmm. If that's what I think you're pointing to. Is that?
Yes. I mean, going back to, there is still the conversation, how can I do more, be more, have more.
Let's just go there for a minute, because everybody feels overworked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. you read the surveys, everybody out there, all employees feel like, gee whiz, as we went through the downtimes, you got rid of people and you asked me to do more with
mm-hmm.
less.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's feeling overworked. By really evaluating your capacities, you may be able to juggle, reorganize, retime things to where you could do more,
mm-hmm.
or you may come up with the unpopular answer that says, I can't do what I'm being asked or what I thought I could do.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Now that I acknowledge that, what are the steps I can take?
Mm-hmm. Right. And another book I appreciate for its, and I don't remember the author, you might, Strength-Based Organizations.
Oh, I can't think of the author now that you asked me.
It's a similar idea.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do all of it. Where is it best to put your time and attention? What
right.
can you do well? And what resources do you have? If do you have the resources to support that?
I often look at businesses that take every order that's offered mm-hmm. to them.
Mm-hmm.
where they don't have the capacity. So they're all done not totally efficient, not totally right, not totally making the same profit margin. Whereas if they did less business and picked the ones that they have the capacity to match, they would make more money bottom line on a smaller volume.
And people might even be less stressed. I don't know. I know people.
Well,
who cares about people? <It's> just...
What else do you want to tell us about capacity as we're kind of getting ready to sort of wrap up here? What else have we not touched on?
I think that for our conversation, we have done enough.
She's recognized my limited capacity to grasp anything more complex than what we've talked about.
And my own capacity to go further.
Well, Joan, I want to thank you for coming in today and sort of introducing us to this question of capacity. I think it's a great thing. If people were to contact you, are you willing to share your chart with them?
Absolutely. Yes, and if they sign up for my website is my name, joanfriedlander.com,
okay,
which is FRIEDLANDER. Looks like Fried Lander.
It always throws me. For as long as I've known you, I have to go Friedlander, not Fried Lander.
Well, yes, Joan, J-O-A-N. And I have a newsletter, Capacity Matters. So that's a way to start the conversation. And actually, they get some guidance for the visual workflow planner. So they can start that way. And if somebody actually wants to see the model, they can contact me through the website.
Great. I will be sure on the podcast to put that link there so people, if they didn't write it down, they've got it. And how else can we find out more about what you're doing? Just your website, best place to go?
That's the best place. It's the portal for, you know, Facebook and all that other great stuff, Twitter and LinkedIn. But no, my website is where...
Hey, I want to, again, thank you for coming all the way to California to just be on my show. I know you had nothing else to do here.
That's right. Thanks for having me. It was really, really, it's great to see you, and thank you for being interested in this and allowing us to have this conversation.
I am, and welcome back to the Coaching Perspective radio show community. Thank you. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests, some other great guests. Speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for interesting people to talk to. Just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the show with Joan today, that the discussion has provided you with some new insights and information about what your capacity is all about, and that you can put that to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.